and welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football Podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling the fantasy football season right now.
Oh.
And I know it. Yeah. It's only because I've had a good couple of weeks here. I'll say it's also because as commissioner of the league, I'm very happy with where the league is. We've got 3 weeks left of the regular season and we've got a lot of drama. So yeah, I'm feeling really good.
I'm glad. It sounds like you're like hacking the system on your end as a vault is being opened up. I just need 30 more seconds. Just 30 more seconds.
Yeah, just better to get the codes.
That's right. That's right. Well, I am glad you're excited about the league and the standings and the status of our current build. And I know you're excited about your own team within the mix of that. I also know you're excited because tonight we have a very special guest. Would you like to introduce our special guest for this thrilling week?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Long time listener, first time caller for us. Happy to welcome Chris to the show. Thank you, Chris, for joining us. How are you doing this evening coming to us from Fair, Oklahoma?
Not as good as you, Pete. with the directions of our teams going opposite ways here, I will soon be coming from Texas as I'm heading that way tomorrow. And hopefully in about 7 months, we'll be there permanently. Thank the Lord.
Well, maybe the good Texas vibes will turn things around for you. So this is absolutely one thing I wanted to talk to you about. I don't want to harp too much on, last week's results, just out of fairness to you. I didn't invite you on to talk about last week. That's not why you're here. I do want to ask you, though, I do want to ask you what happened to your team, though, because up through week 7 of this year, you were on fire. I think you had one kind of down week in week 3. But
yes.
Other than that, you were cranking out scores over 140 every week. One of them,
135.
You had big wins against Scott. You had you beat Jared. A lot of good wins. You got up to number 2 in the power rankings in both week 6 and week 7.
Mm.
And then since then, it's just fallen apart a little bit with 3 losses in a row.
God, this is painful. Look, you can stop any moment now.
Got to set the stage here.
first, my rebuttal. You destroyed me last week, which is true. But if you look at the points scored from week 1 through week 10, I actually hold an edge 8-2 if we played head to head each week. So
that's an interesting point. That's not what
you're lucky that we played when we did.
Man,
just will say that much.
Chris did some research before coming on the show.
Well, I just knew this was coming.
I don't know if it's research so much as a very bitter trying to rationalize what happened.
Bitterness doesn't quite get to where we're at right now when it comes to my fantasy football team, because like you said, my team was performing above expectations. I was really happy with where my team was. I wasn't expecting the same consistency I was getting. We talk about draft strategies and everything, and I did particularly go for a very balanced approach this year because I wanted consistency. But unfortunately, my running backs have just been terrible. Sometimes you get lucky in fantasy football. You make the right pickup. You make the right waiver claim. You spend your entire free agency budget on a single player, and it works out for you. Sometimes your keeper, who was rated the number 1 or 2 running back in the league going into it for $19, is one of the worst running backs in the league.
Mm.
And that's just how fantasy football go.
Yeah, you're spot on with your comment about your running backs.
Right.
The last 3 weeks, they have failed to combine for more than 20 points for you, which is hard to overcome. And then also, you've got a devil's tango going with Ryan Matthews as well, and you're losing that one. right now.
Yeah. If I play him, he scores nothing or doesn't even get to touch the ball. The other week, he just did a decent game, and he, I think, was on the field for 8 snaps. In 3 of those snaps, he scored a touchdown on one, ran for like 11 yards on another. But his issues of coughing up the ball early has kind of got him in a bad way with the coach. And Darren Sproles acted like he was 24 in that game versus was, I don't remember who they were playing, but it was amazing. He was a Cowboys even.
Yep.
So, Pete, have we had a team? I don't mean to harp on it, but it is astounding. Have we had a team be defeated by more than 90 points prior to this?
Fair question. Pretty sure it's happened before, but that might be something that our lead historian will go back and look up for us. Okay. I'm pretty sure it's been done before, and it wouldn't be too hard to find because we've got a trophy for it for when you get the biggest loss. So we can just go look at trophy cases from past years and look that up. But I'm pretty sure that has happened before. Mm-hmm. I think. So, but we'll look that up. But yeah, that was just a combination of really a lot of really good things happening for me, a lot of really bad things happening for you. But at least you you don't have to beat yourself up about leaving a lot of points on your bench or something changing the outcome of the game, right?
That's right. Glasses half full. Come on, Chris.
All right. So Chris, what's done to turn things around for you here? Do you, we haven't, I don't think we've had a mention of this yet this year, but you might say your team's been going through a little bit of a regression to the mean here. So they're outperforming expectations early part of the year, now crashing back to earth here. Do you feel optimistic going forward? I know it's tough when you're down in the dump, but are you going to turn these around? Are you trade this week? What's the state of the franchise?
I'm a little down in the dumps. Let's be honest here. It started with that game versus Andy a few weeks ago. I was feeling really good about my team. I was up at number 2 playing Andy, who's been absolutely atrocious all year long. Made a few big trades that weren't doing amazing things, except for Ajayi, who was sitting on his bench. But then Dez Bryant scored, I think, 25 or 30 points that game, and he came back and beat me on a it was either a Sunday night or Monday night. But from there, I looked at my schedule going forward, and I was like, oh, this is not good. I can't lose in that game. I've got Brent next, who's looking up. You made a really nice move last week up to 158 points. It's like, oh, I don't want to play him this week. I just didn't feel good about that. And then my next 2 out of 3 games are against, I think, number 1 and number 2 in our bracket. So yep. With a last place guy next week. So I've got to win 2 out of 3 to have a shot. I feel like my team, if it performs to where it performed all year long, even my 2 weeks where I lost recently, I scored 128, 123 points, which wins a lot of the weeks against a lot of the different opponents. So I still feel great about my team. I don't feel good about where they're at as the season winds down, and I have nowhere to make up this ground.
So the good news for you is you are still very much in the playoff picture. You would be the number 6 team, so you'd be in the playoffs were the season to end today. Sitting at 5-5, you are deadlocked with myself and then 3 other teams. So there's 5 of us sitting at 5-5. And then the tiebreaker for making the playoffs is points scored. And you are currently sitting at number 2 of that 5 in points scored.
And I had you until last week when you outscored me by about 90.
That's true. That's true. And I'm only ahead of you by 10 now. So, yeah, I was way behind until this season. And I'll just say, you know, it's well documented. I did not want to play you. Many times on this podcast, I've mentioned that. So,
the podcast curse lives.
Oh,
completely.
Yeah.
It's so terrible.
There is so much data supporting that claim. It is scary.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. It's It's definitely.
So, Chris, I was looking at the diagnosis of your team, and obviously the running back combination there or lack thereof has definitely hurt you. But I also know that it's you have a right to be frustrated with that podcast curse as well as just your overall schedule. I mean, right now you are sitting, I believe you are fourth in points four in our league. You've put up board all season long, but you're sitting third in points against. And so what is your reaction? What's your take on your schedule and just the matchup luck you've had?
You know, that's the way fantasy go, as Ron Washington would probably put it. It started with week one, kind of getting the bad mojo out of the way there. It's just unfortunate, you know, when you pile through and you look at who all you would have beat that week, and you're like, oh, or you play the guy that, you know, like Pete said, he didn't want to play my team, and I didn't blame him. You know, his team was so underperforming, mm-hmm. But you knew he had a good team, and his team kicked up at the right time. And you know, it's kind of like you want to get hot at the right time. You don't want to peak too early. And perhaps my team, and which is crazy. It's fantasy sports. Fantasy sports, you shouldn't be too early. But you know, perhaps that's what my team did. I didn't talk to the fantasy gods near as much as Pete did. I'm not sure what he sacrificed, but whatever it is, could you at least email me?
I don't think talking is the right description of what Peter. The man has been groveling, and on the show. Yeah.
It was definitely like a full-on sackcloth and ashes.
Oh, gosh.
Weeping and gnashing of the teeth, fasting for 3 days, trying to figure out what was going on.
This is a shared podium in that the podcast is our podcast, but I felt a little infringed upon. There's been a little bit of a slant in the amount of airtime of fantasy talk and Peter just... heaping coals upon his head.
I have no regrets. It's all done.
It works. Certainly. It works.
Clearly. Well, Chris,
you can take a page from that playbook and use that in the future.
Chris, you've been a formidable team this year, and as Pete indicated, nobody wanted to play you because you had a strong team and. Ultimately, the schedule and just a couple of weaker performances than expected out of, especially looking at Todd Gurley. Come on, man. Come on.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Come on, man. Just didn't get you what you needed in that spot. And it's hard to, when you have schedule matchups, it'd be one thing to be able to account for a little bit of coverage within your own team. But when you got both things working against you and a couple of close matchups like that, I know it's hard not to get frustrated when you look at the rest of the league score and go, yep, would have beat him. So I'm sorry for that. I can't say that I've been there very frequently. It's usually the opposite for me. Usually I'm like, I played the right person this week. I had one option. But... at least
those first four or five weeks of the year really paid off for you.
Yes, they really did.
That's the kind of thing you got
to
do right
now. Going back to Todd Gurley, it's one of those that, you know, with Todd Gurley, it's one of those where it shows you how important the quarterback position is. Cowboys this year are able to do so much more offensively because they've got a quarterback that can move the ball down the field, and they're having to spread the defense out. With Todd Gurley, there's no one to throw the ball. And those defenses are just stacking his line. And I've actually tried to move him a few times this year, hoping that someone else would take him. With who he is as potential, but knowing that their offense was so stacked against him this year but no one else bit. So here we are, Todd Gurley, all the way.
Well,
quarterbacks and offensive lines are just a little bit important. So you, new this week, we've got our playoff odds out. You are still at 52% odds to make the playoffs. That's, you know, because you're second in points scored among teams with five wins. You're also second in playoff odds among teams with five wins. So we've kind of got four shoe-ins, and then it's, you know, the five of us all bunched together. So you're sitting at 52%, basically a coin flip right now. So you are certainly not out of it. And also, I don't think it's a guarantee that you have to win two of the next three. It's possible you could win one and win in a tiebreaker, but certainly winning two of the next three, I think, would make it a certainty that you would be in the show. So you've got that little bit of hope to hold on to there.
You know, Coach Peak would say at the end of the year, if, you know, if I'm sitting there with a chance to get in the playoffs end of the year, you take that.
That's right. That's absolutely.
It's hard to accept that when you started so well, but at the end of the year, I'll take that chance. I've got a good team, and fantasy gods, if you can hear me now, you know,
quack.
Smite Pete.
Quack.
And come back to your first true love who loved you first.
See, there you go.
He's got a point there.
That's why you're here.
He's got a point. He's got a point.
That's the real reason you're on the show, is so that you can use the platform to make your plea to the fantasy gods, and you can then going back the right way and have the podcast jinx be a reverse jinx for you. So
that's the only goal at this point. You know, coming on the podcast now is maybe the best thing that could happen, because it's already going downhill.
There you go.
That I'm hoping that you know, the fantasy gods whom I love, you guys will do the right thing.
It just makes the turnaround that much sweeter.
That's right. That's
so
it is kind of weird saying that with a pastor on the other end. So forgive me.
I have a tendency to compartmentalize my religions. they don't cross over. Each one has some tolerance for the other. How about that? There's an allegiance. So I'm going to try to help you out here in the cursing. Peter is not guaranteed to win for every single week. This week, Derek will have to pull something out of nowhere to beat Pete.
I'm not losing this week.
It can't be done.
You'll have to look at another
Derek,
week.
Derek cannot win this week. See what I'm doing? See what I'm doing there, Chris?
It
cannot be done.
If you're able to, if you pull that reverse jinx off, Seth, then you've got connections to a higher power that none of us can really comprehend or match. Because that's probably one of the bigger underdog games of the year.
Meanwhile, Derek's point. Somewhere going, cool guys, cool. That's cool.
Look, I'm fully a believer, but if you're trying to reverse jinx something, you're gonna need to look somewhere else than me versus Derek.
This is true.
I fully expect to lose the following 2 weeks, just to be clear. But this is not the week that I'm I don't want to jinx myself here. I'm not saying I've got an amazing team all of a sudden. It feels good to win too, and I fully expect to win this week. But I'll crash back to earth the following 2 weeks. Just to be clear, fantasy gods.
Understood. Understood. Well, Chris, let's switch gears into a more upbeat conversation. You've been in the league now for a little bit. Have you been enjoying this season? How does this season compare to other seasons in the past? How do you, not for your team personally, but just your experience in TNR and the Pellwood League? How's it been for you, buddy?
This is by far the best year, solely because of the group chat that we've got going. You know, I know Pete personally, but the rest of you guys I've never really had an opportunity to meet. So the fact that you guys had y'all's live draft this year, and with me up in Oklahoma, my wife works 80-hour weeks, couldn't make it down. So to join you guys in the group chat this whole year has just been phenomenal, I think, in promoting a bigger brand for the Pellwood League. I'm hopeful that when we move to Texas that I can join that live draft next year. But just the ability to communicate as much as we have has improved the league drastically. That said, it is the best fantasy league. I brag about it all the time, especially the podcast. I even had, while sitting in the deer blind last week or so, had my best friend Henry, who worked with me at ACU, with an earbud in his ear while we're sitting there waiting on the big deer to come out that never did. And probably because we spent too much time laughing during the podcast. So it's an honor to be a part of it. I am still sometimes shocked that Pete asked me to join it several years ago. But because of this league, I think I've gone from what I would consider in a normal league with friends, a average to above average fantasy football player, where I felt like I could compete every year with them, to I almost feel a little bit bad joining a few of these leagues with some friends that I've convinced to do an auction draft, because I feel like we've got such a big step up on what they're able to do.
You slow played them, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Well played. Well, with great power comes great responsibility. Or with great power comes great opportunity to take advantage of others. I prefer that. Yeah,
unfortunately, I haven't convinced them to play for money.
Well,
yeah. I hope you're intentionally tainting until you can start playing for money.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this auction draft's hard. Yeah, I don't know how to do it
numbers.
Either. $50 buy-in next year.
That's pretty good.
Well, Chris, you've certainly you can see the evolution of your skills as a fantasy player from the time you joined the league. I was just looking at the league history. You joined in 2013. So this is your fourth year. Your first 2 years, your first year you went 2-11. Second year you missed the playoffs and kind of finished at the bottom with the losers bracket. And then last year made the playoffs. This year, obviously, you're right there. So lots of growth from you as a player just in the last four seasons that you've been part of the league. So that's been fun to see. And I think you're right. We do. We do have a very strong lead, very competitive lead, and I think certainly if any of us were to be dropped into a lead of average players, could probably run the table pretty easily. So I think that's a good testament to this being the greatest fantasy lead in the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That first auction draft, I think I curled up in a fetal position and cried. I felt like I was jumped from all sides and had no idea what was going on. And then this league, you can't do last minute waivers of guys that you should have picked up weeks ago. They're gone. Or you've got people, and I'm still kind of bitter about this, when I had Brent pick up Jordan Howard for $43. After Langston got hurt, and I'm sitting there, I think there was a bid for 20, 21, 22, and 23. And I was the 23, and I outsmarted all of y'all. Except for freaking Brent, who bid like $43.
Oh, man.
Who was the mastermind of all things.
It's the story of your season.
League. It's so different.
It's the story of your season, man. You beat 10 guys out of 11.
Yeah. That's good point. Well played.
Well, Chris, we've enjoyed having you in the league, and you bring a jovial and you definitely stir the pot with trade conversations, with good question asking in our group me, with just a good camaraderie. You certainly embody the spirit of the league, and that is just to have fun, enjoying connecting with one another. And we are looking forward to have you back in the same state, and maybe that'll get you a little bit more FaceTime with us as we get ready for future seasons.
Sounds great, guys.
Awesome, Chris. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. Good luck to you this week. You know, we are certainly rooting for you to beat Brock, because we're rooting for everybody to beat Brock. So we're really pulling for you this week, even though we know you're going to lose. You know?
Oh, I'm going to get hammered.
Wink. Wink. Well, Chris, we are pulling for you. And as always, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our league. And thanks for being on the show tonight, man.
Thank you, guys.
We'll check in with you soon. Have a great night.
All right, back to our regularly scheduled programming now. Thank you to Chris for joining us. Let's take a quick look at last week's matchups and the results there with the implications of those. So we already talked a little about a big win against Chris. That was also a win for the Squish Factor. Brought us to an even record at 5-5. Michael also got a win against you, which was also a win for the Squish Factor, and locked you both up at 5-5. That was a tough one. That was a tough one for you.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
Yeah.
We had a really tight, close projection for a lot of it, too.
Yeah, you were actually favored in it. You're a 14-point favorite, and then your team just really underperformed there.
Yeah. Which sucked, too, because I had some guys on loan that were really supposed to help me out. And
yeah, we didn't talk about that because you did that trade with Brent after we recorded.
Yeah.
I felt like you took advantage of my words a little bit there.
Okay.
It was like on the podcast last week, like you were trying to clarify, like, what exactly is going to get vetoed as a trade? And so I said, as long as it provides value for both owners, pretty much did to go. And you're like, all right. So then really stretching the limits of what that means.
Had I known that Brent and I were going to have such discussions, I would say, yeah, that definitely sounds pretty suspicious. But I think at that juncture, I was just wanting for the greater good, for the general awareness within our league to know the expectations of a trade.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you operated within those boundaries,
I
but
sure did.
right up to the limit of them in operating a 1 week swap. And really, that 1 week swap, it should have benefited you more than it benefited Brent, because a 2-for-1 trade is, you know, those are all well and good, but to do it on a 1 week swap basis, it should be a really lopsided trade.
You'd think,
for whoever's seen two players.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it didn't work out for either of you. You both lost. So, yeah. You might say a little bit of comeuppance there for trying to, abuse the system.
Maybe so.
But
if you were prone to think that way. The way Brent and I see it is that we kept each other from losing worse.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit of a anything goes kind of guy when it comes to the rules. Certainly don't want to make anything unfair. So I actually like the creativity of trying to figure out how to bend or at least live within the rules, even if it be a little unconventional. So
sure,
I liked it. I thought it was fun. Yep. That was interesting.
We'll see.
I like that.
It will be interesting to see if bi-week rental becomes something that does have to be regulated in the future. I don't know what that would look like, but if it's something that could be beneficial, I mean, it may be more trouble than it's worth. And it may be more risk than it's worth, because you gotta, ultimately you gotta shake hands with the guy you're getting into bed with, and yeah. There's a little bit of a trust factor there, next week you got to give me those guys back and vice versa. So
it would be different though. I mean, the players you traded were, you could make an argument, it was pretty equivalent.
Yeah.
Pretty fair 2-for-1 trade. It would be different if it was like, an obvious,
sure.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
By that standard, it still falls under the same standard trade leagues, which is actually a pretty good parameter ahead of the fact anyway.
Yeah.
That's, so anyway,
but yeah, it was, I mean, you traded Jordan Howard to Brent, and he nearly had like a season ending injury.
Yeah.
After the Damon's coach was talking about it could be his Achilles, and if it's the Achilles, I mean, you're done. So
Dunsky.
I thought that added a little extra drama to the trade. If what if one of the players got a season ending injury, and then it's like, well. No take backs.
Yeah. Damaged goods.
Hey, you broke them, you bought.
You don't get your deposit back. Like, well, it didn't pay
well.
Off in the end. Ultimately, it's kind of sad. My top score last week was Demaryius Thomas, of all people, the wide receiver who's supposed to have been doing well all season long, underperforming all season long. but he ended up carrying me last week. I still lost by nearly 30 points.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. You're favored by 21 and then lost by 29. So
I really, really wanted that win, though. That would have been really helpful for my playoff position.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been. You're not out of it, but you, since you've got the lowest point scored of the teams with five wins, you're certainly got an uphill battle, and you kind of need to win out. So
yeah, I need to see some big scores.
Yep. Let's see the other relevant games last week. You know, Brock beat Brent. It looked like Brent had a shot at it for a while, but Brock ended up being just too strong and just consistently putting up, you know, scores in the 140s, 150s. So you gotta have a good week to beat Brock right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the deal with the rest of it?
And what's the deal with Scott? I mean, he comes out and he's like, "I'm not just gonna beat Andy. I'm gonna pants him."
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, were it not for the way I beat Chris, you know, I think that would have grabbed all the headlines.
Ben beat Derek.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple blowouts last week because Jared also beat Brian by 60 points. So, mm-hmm. You know, four games separated by 60 points or more. Not a real competitive week, but we did have, you know, the good result of, you know, Scott and Jared are tied for the lead in the Challengers division. And whoever wins the division there will earn a first round bye in the playoffs. So mm-hmm. that's exciting. And then we've got the five teams competing for two playoff spots, basically. So
that's kind of fun.
You know, yeah, not a super exciting week 10, but a super exciting final 3 weeks it's set up. So.
Yep. All right. Well, this week I'm up against Jared. I'm not completely out of it, but I need above and beyond performances if I'm going to be competitive against him this week. He's currently projected pretty decent spread ahead of me by about 30-something points. We've got Chris taking on Brock. That's a fun matchup this week because currently Brock is projected at a lot lower than he has been scoring. And we've got Scott going up against Brian. Again, tight spread within their projection currently, although standings would say and momentum would say that that's definitely Scott's game to lose. We got Andy going up against Michael. And again, we have a pretty tight spread. They're about 10 points apart. And Michael right in that 5-5 line. And then we have Ben and Brent. This is the one I'm most curious about because they are pretty comparable teams on paper, I think. And so definitely. I'm excited to talk through that one as what I would consider the game of the week. And then we've got Pete up against Derek. Not quite a walk in the park per se, as I am trying to reverse jinx you, but there is no way he can win this game.
The projections are a little funny this week because all season long, I was looking at it through the first 10 weeks of the season, the highest anyone has been projected in a week is 151 points. Mm. And right now, entering this week, Jared and I are both projected higher than that.
Interesting.
So two of the highest projected point totals for the week are in this week. And it's, you know, there's still, I think, four NFL teams on bye and, you know, still injuries out there and stuff. So I'm not surprised at my projection because I've got a lot of key players like going up against Cleveland and the 49ers and Detroit. And, you know, it's like really, really easy matchups for a lot of my teams. So I'm not surprised by a high projection, but I'm just surprised in general that there are so many points being projected at this point of the season where we still have bye weeks going on.
Well, we're sitting on this side of Thursday, which gives us a little bit of a more forward-looking projection. So are you looking at projections from previous to Thursday night or post-Thursday night?
I was looking at prior to Thursday, so it wasn't skewed by anything. So, yeah, I'm projected for 156. I haven't had any players play on Thursday. Jared was projected for 152 prior to the Thursday night game. So
gotcha. Well, the next highest projections would be the matchup between Ben and Brent. Currently, following their Thursday night matchup, we had Jonathan Stewart as a flex running back for Ben, and Drew Brees being as New Orleans was up this Thursday, who they lost. Drew Brees.
As his friend.
Drew Brees brought in 17 and a half points or so. And so right now, Brent currently within a 3-point projected spread to lose against Ben. However, we've got Dak Prescott as a quarterback going up against Baltimore, and this is should be a pretty big game for the Cowboys. I think they're going to really be tested up against the Baltimore defense this week, so I'll be curious to know how well Zeke and Dak connect as they have been.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll definitely be one to watch because, you know, Ben's team is really Dak and Zeke. So, you know, he's got OBJ and Delanie Walker. They both have really nice matchups. But Dak and Zeke against Baltimore, you know, if this was on the road for the Cowboys, I would feel, you know, less... I feel worse about it, but since they're at home and Baltimore looks like they'll be missing like their top cornerback, you know, who really helps shut down the number one wide receivers on opposing teams, kind of limits the ball movement there. Mm-hmm. I do think Dak and Zeke will be fine in this one. I don't think they'll, you know, quite get to their season averages though. And that's how they're projected out as well. So yeah, that will definitely be one to watch. This Baltimore's not really the defense.
Yeah, they do.
But this is the this is certainly the game of the week, in my opinion. Brent's got Doug Martin coming back. You know, he's got his stud wide receivers, Mike Evans and AJ Green, both primed in good spots. I think this one's gonna be really high scoring and also really close. So I'm excited to track this one on Sunday.
Yeah, I tried to get AJ Green off of Brent's hands this week. He didn't go for it. Imagine that.
Huh? That's strange.
Something about,
I mean,
undercutting his team when he needs a victory real bad. Like, yeah, we all need victories. Yeah. Selfish.
It's tough to make trades at this point of the season because you kind of have to be trading with someone who's not in a similar, you know, playoff standing as you, unless you just have a perfect matchup of, you know, extra depth at one position and a need at another that lines up, you know, with someone else's needs. Yeah. Otherwise, you kind of got to be looking to trade with those who are not in the playoff hunt right now. And sometimes that's tough to do because they are not as engaged anymore as an owner. So I don't know if we'll see any trades this week. The trade deadline is coming up next week. I think it's Wednesday of next week. So, you know, prior to the Thanksgiving games, essentially. So we still have some time, but I think it's a tough spot to get a deal done.
Sure. Well, there are two things on my mind as we head into this weekend next. Actually, three, I should say. The first is, of course, Thanksgiving week. And happy Thanksgiving to you, Pete, as it hits the corner. Do you guys have any plans?
No major plans. With me just getting back from a trip to Ireland, we're going to be staying at home and enjoying Thanksgiving at home.
Good. Well, I will be out of country again, headed out Sunday. I'll be returning Saturday. So this will be a more difficult spread. We'll have to produce a quick turnaround on Saturday night and crank that out and turn it around for Sunday.
I'm all for it. It's obviously tougher on you than me. I will be here. So.
Yep. And then the second thing on my mind is keeper decisions, as half of our division will soon, or half of our league will soon find itself thinking towards the 2017-2018 fantasy football season. Are there any, without disclosing too much, as we, you know, don't want to get the cart before the horse here, is there any eligible keeper that you are particularly excited about within our league?
That is a good question. I have not thought about keepers at all. And haven't thought about my team or a whole lot for anyone else's team, just except for when it comes to trade discussions. You know, I think Andy just traded Jay Ajayi to Ben last week, and you know, he's a real strong candidate for keeper selection there. You know, I think Scott will get to keep David Johnson again. So that's
He would.
just gonna
He would.
that's
Take the
just gonna be
easy.
unfair.
Yeah, take the easy way, why don't you?
Right. So yeah, that'll be interesting. I need to go and check and see if anyone has been kept for 2 years in a row and will be
Yep.
ineligible to be kept again. But I don't think so.
I
I
think we're
think
clean this year, yeah.
You know what? C.J. Anderson, I believe,
He's
Michaels kept
eligible?
him 2 years in a row,
Okay.
so he will not be able to keep C.J. Anderson. But I don't think you know
I
he
don't think
would
he would
anyway.
anyway.
So
Yep.
yeah.
I think we need the league to join me in shaming Scott. I think like if the only way we can get him to not hang on to Johnson is to just publicly shame him and, you know, make him feel like he's taking such the easy route. It's never gonna work. I'm done. Never mind. Scott, you've got the best
I
keeper in the
mean,
world.
you could offer him cash, you know, a cash offering, maybe offer to pay his buy-in for next year or something like that, and then he possibly might not keep him, but that's the only way I see it happening. Your bribery and
Yeah.
nefarious.
Well, see, I'm not in the business. I used to be. I'm not in the business of simply sabotaging one man's team. If I'm going to sabotage or bribe a man's team, it needs to benefit my team. I'm not content just disrupting another man's team. That's an old Seth.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad that you've grown as a
Well,
person.
anyway. Right. There was a third thing on my mind, and I don't remember what it was. So,
Well, I will have to wait in suspense
let me make one
until
up real quick.
next week.
Hang on. Honestly, what it was is that there was going to be keepers and then Thanksgiving and then my travel schedule. But I pulled those two together. So
Okay.
I need a
All right.
third. Oh, I've got one. Oh, and the third thing I wanted to talk to you about was that I just saw a picture of your family. And how long has your son been rocking a mohawk?
Oh, dude, that's been his style for I don't know, probably this calendar year anyway.
Oh man.
He rocks it hard, and
He's
anytime we go anywhere, he gets at least two or three compliments from strangers of like, wow, I love your hair.
Yeah, he's it's working for him. Just let him know that Uncle Seth is proud
I
and jealous.
will. Yeah. Super jealous.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, don't tell him about my wig though. That needs to stay with me.
Yeah. That needs to no. Yeah,
Don't
needs
look at
to
me, I'm
stay.
hideous. Turn away.
I was doing something like that night, pretending with my daughter, and she's like, "Can we say hideous?" And I was like, in the proper context? Yeah, sure, you can say hideous."
Oh man.
I look forward to when she, you know, uses it for the first time. It will probably be very bad.
Oh man. Yeah.
It's good
Hopefully,
parenting.
it's not like a politically correct, very incorrect, very bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be
Yeah,
the worst.
it'll probably be at church.
Yeah.
It'll be at church this
Yeah, at church. Yeah.
weekend. Wow, your hair is hideous. No. How do we just say that? Well, it's not what I meant.
Your baby looks hideous.
It's not what that means.
All right. Well, on that note, Pete, anything else before we wrap this one up?
No, 3 weeks to go. We didn't talk a whole lot about the playoff odds, you know, which I slaved over, but that's whatever. Yeah, I'll just say it real quick. Brock, Scott, Ben, and Jared are all basically locked to make the playoffs with their odds at 100%, 99, and 96. So, and then Andy, Derek, and Brian are out of it. You know, and I'm surprised Andy's playoff odds are at zero. I thought they might be at 1%. He has seven losses, so he has a chance to get into six wins and get in a tiebreaker if he did that. Mm-hmm. So I'm surprised he doesn't have like 1 or 2% odds, but the model is not that optimistic and has him at 0%.
More like 1 in a million.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm just not looking at enough decimal places.
Maybe. I read you. You gonna tell me where I'm sitting, Pete?
Oh, Andy has 0.04% chance.
There it is.
See? I just wasn't looking at enough decimal places.
Congratulations, Andy.
Yeah.
Man, you hang on to that thousandth of a percent.
That's like own 4 in 10,000.
Own it.
So, yeah.
Where am I sitting?
Totally a chance. You're at around 20%.
Yeah.
If you looked at the power rankings for this week, your power ranking number and playoff odds are there. So you can check that out. Enjoy it.
All right. Well, thanks for your hard work on that, Pete. We expect nothing less because it is the greatest fantasy football league in the world. And this is its podcast. He's Peter Earl, and I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Good night. The wink thing really doesn't translate in radio. We're gonna have to. We need that. We need that winking sound effect.
I don't know. That would probably sound creepy, whatever it was. So I don't think.
Yeah, there's probably a fine line between a wink and the little, you know, smile thing. You know, like the little spark on your teeth. Like it'd be hard to tell the difference. Yeah. I think. Ow! Oh! Cut! Okay, ow.
What did you do?
So I've got a little fidget here that I play with while we record. It is.
Oh, that's really awkward.
It's something. Hang on. It's something my brother-in-law gave me.
Oh, a little fidget.
It's a Batman little batwing metal. Little, what do you call these batarangs? And it's really sharp. Like it's actually a professionally
bat-shaped star.
Yeah, it's a bat-shaped ninja star is what it is. It's a very sharp bat-shaped ninja star. Just dropped it on my foot. My bare foot. I'm bleeding.
I don't think you mind off the headache.
I play with a twist tie while we record.
I am
recommend something that's not so lethal.
It got the skin. Yeah. Definitely a small laceration.
You need to go to the hospital.
You want me to wake my wife up and look at it?
I think I'm all right. Just adding fodder to the outtakes. There we go.
Yeah. The first ever fantasy football podcast related injury.
All right.
Truth and Reconciliation will be questionable with a foot this week.
All right.
Oh man, that'll be the best outtakes ever.